latest headline today. A new day, apparently, because the South Carolina House approves removal of the Confederate flag. Apparently it's a new day because we're taking down a piece of cloth. Well, it's a new day here at 1180 WFYL with Mike Levitt. You can go ahead and call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, as we talk about the headlines and more, all from a Christian perspective. Looking at a Fox News article, apparently, because we're taking down the flag, it's a new day. South Carolina can remove the stain from our lives, according to 64-year-old Representative Joe Neal, a black Democrat who was first elected in 1992. I never thought in my lifetime I would see this. You know, you think this would be relatively easy to do, but in the South, not so much. That's a big symbol of Southern pride down there, and that's, of course, a huge debate. Everyone thinks that, well, you know, this is really an issue of Southern pride and heritage. It's not really a symbol of racism. This isn't even really the flag that actually represented the Confederacy, I guess you could say. It was the Confederate battle flag, and it was made distinctly to try to distinguish themselves from the Union troops, because the flag that they had flying, I guess, on the battlefield resembled the old Stars and Stripes too much, so they made this markedly different flag, which is the one that we are talking about in this whole controversy. But like I've said before, this is a distraction from things that are more important, from things we need to be focusing our attention on, such as the global economy. We have Greece, of course, which its referendum kind of spelling the financial future for the Greeks. And then, of course, we have China's stock market, which has been in free fall and now is stabilizing due to some government intervention. But we have bigger things to talk about. And I don't know why, but Donald Trump seems to be at the top of the GOP discussion right now. And this is something that I never saw coming. And we are early into the election. And if you do not think that this has anything to do, I mean, of course they're all campaigning, but we are basically in the throes of an election, even though the election, we're still some time away from it. But Donald Trump is just kind of stirring up all this press because of his remarks. I do not think he will be a serious contender when push comes to shove, although you never know with the backlash. Now, if he is a serious contender, I think that's exactly what a lot of people want to happen. I think they want to see Donald Trump be a serious contender for the Republican Party because he has been so outspoken, and because his remarks, while they may have truth to them, have been done without tact, quite frankly, and he will be destroyed. I think the media is trying to set him up, if it will. He represents a lot of frustration with America. That's, of course, been a topic of discussion on many of news outlets, how he is a symbolism. He is the symbol of frustration in America. He is the symbol of those who want to take their country back and are tired of political correctness and are tired of all the changes that we've seen in our nation, which we believe are to our detriment. But he is being set up. Now, of course, there are other points that have been raised about Trump as well. He has donated in the past money to Hillary Clinton, for example. And that's frightening. Put your money where your mouth is. That expression's true. If you want to know how someone lives, my father would say this. He did a numerous amount of working with credit and different people's statements and things like that. And he would say, if you want to know what someone's really like, look at their bank statement. You want to know what they really believe in? Look at where the money is going. That's how you're going to learn about them. Trump may very well be a Trojan horse. He may very well be someone who is just putting on a front and who is trying to cater to the views of Americans and possibly with ulterior motives. There is a lot of information that we don't know about him. We do know his popular life. We do know that he's a business mogul. We do know he's outspoken with his political views. But he's never really faced, because he's never been seen as a serious candidate, he's never really been faced with scrutiny other candidates have had to been faced with. I really don't think in the long run that Trump is going to really pick up steam. I think he symbolizes a lot of frustration, and his remarks have stirred that up and have garnered some temporary support for him. But when push comes to shove, that's all it's going to be, temporary support. And eventually it's going to wane, and he won't have anything to stand on. That's just the crux of the matter. But, hey, by the way, if you're joining us, welcome to the program. It's a new day in 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. But what we always need to remember, these politicians, as great as they may look and everything that they may say, one thing I've learned in this life, it is that politicians change like the tides, and I'm not the only one who knows this. This is common knowledge. But what astounds me is sometimes why people put all of their hope in these politicians, which everyone acknowledges change just like the tide. They go in, they go out. They completely shift direction because they go with what may be popular, and people's opinions change all the time. Some people may disagree with that, but people's opinions change all the time. This nation's opinion has changed towards homosexual marriage. 10 or so years ago, most of the nation would not have approved of legalizing homosexual marriage. Now we see the opposite effect. You could argue that's because of new generations. You could argue that that is because of economic change, some people would even say, which I think is absolutely ludicrous. But all of this comes down to one thing, and that one thing always will be, where is our nation? Where are we as individuals? The one thing that makes the difference is Jesus Christ. Why is he the one thing that makes a difference? He's everything that's good. He's everything that's wholesome. He is the one truth. That's, of course, what Scripture says. He's the truth, the life, the way. You've probably heard that before if you don't go to church. But Jesus Christ, see, the thing that he embodied was that you, we, all of us, by following him, could see true change, good change. Remember Obama's famous slogan, change we can believe in? A lot of people had bumper stickers that said, keep the change. But Jesus Christ is the only real good change that can be found for our nation. This whole predicament we're in is only going to be changed by one thing, and that is Jesus Christ, by turning towards him. The one thing it's going to be changed by. The sooner we recognize that, the better. Are we going to see another great awakening? These historical events that were studied by myself and others I know in public school even, which were revivals. Are we going to have another one in this historically Christian-influenced nation? Are we going to have yet another? Time will tell. It most certainly will. But we are going to bear the consequences for our decisions. We are going to bear the consequences for supporting homosexual marriage as a nation. And that's not just going to be from the people. This is going to be from God. God does judge, and we need to understand that. If we understand that, that may change our thinking.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and NMLS number 3030.
Being considerate and generous towards the needs of others is important to God. From Scripture, we know that God loves a cheerful giver.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. Blessing others can be a great motivation for us to consistently save and invest. Over the years, I have worked with many believers like you to help them develop a plan that allows them to give generously, save responsibly, and spend wisely.
For solid biblical financial planning, call MFB Wealth Management at 215-723-8999. MFB stands for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49, when Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business."
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999. Also on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA, SIPC.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's a piece of news you may not have been privy to. We have joining us in studio this morning guest we've had on the program before, who kind of clues us in on what's happening in Pennsylvania politics. We have Bob Dick with the Commonwealth Foundation joining us. Bob, how are you this morning?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. Wonderful to have you. Well, Governor Wolf has vetoed the Republicans' budget bill. And there's a lot of confusion that's been raised about this as to why and the what. Now, I'm guessing there is a deadline, I'm sure, to pass this budget. Do we know when that deadline is, Bob?
It passed. It was June 30.
Oh, it was June 30.
Yes.
Okay, so we're past the deadline now. The Republicans came up with a budget. It got passed. It went to the governor's desk. He vetoed it. And what were the reasons for his veto?
Well, this is a point I made yesterday in a blog post for the Commonwealth Foundation, and it's... The governor is fixated on tax increases. If you look at his plan, what he wants to do, he laid out three things for what he wants to see in his budget. Number one is to eliminate the structural deficit, which means the gap between revenues and spending over the next 5 years. That's the first thing. Also, second thing, wants property tax relief for Pennsylvania homeowners. And the third thing, a severance tax to actually pay for increased education spending. Now, if you look at those three things, it's impossible for the governor to raise the revenue necessary with just a severance tax. So he needs broad-based tax increases, which the Republicans have already ruled out. But he continues, even after his budget, which had broad-based tax increases, especially on those of low and middle-income households, Even though that budget was defeated by a vote of 0 to 193 back on the 1st of June, he's still pushing forward with this. So either he gets tax increases or the Pennsylvania continues to operate without a budget.
And, I mean, basically, how we're not operating if we don't have a budget. I mean, we are, but what are we going to do? Is Pennsylvania government going to shut down just like the American government, just like the federal government did about a year ago?
So there are operations continue to churn out, and you have employees being paid, but there's going to become a point where the vendors that the state pays, they're not going to be able to actually pay them for their services anymore, and they're going to be running out of cash. Depends on the vendor, depends on the agency, but some put it at the middle of July, towards the end of July. But as we progress forward, you're going to see more agencies and the vendors that depend on state funds. They're going to have more pressure on them to come up with funds if, you know, we don't get this budget passed.
See, and this is why I talked before about how we cannot put all of our hope in these politicians. The only real change that we're going to have. Now, there's a lot of work being done on the Hill. Bob, you are privy to that, and that is your job. And we thank you for that because it is a full-time job, sir, and that is what you do. Trying to discern what all these, because there are all these different motives. You have politicians who are up there trying to actually do some good, okay, who are actually up there trying to serve the people, at least in the, you know, in the American, the true sense of serving the people in the American sense. But there are other politicians that are up there just purely for their own personal gain, and you know that very well. And he kind of keeps a tap on it for us as far as Pennsylvania politics is concerned. But this is why we can't trust politicians. I mean, and we all know this. They say one thing, do another, of course. If you've lived, see, I'm 24. See, if you've lived 24 years, you should know this. I'm only 24 and I've realized this. Okay, in the past election, I know federally, we elected the Republicans to the Senate and the House. And, of course, they haven't really done a whole lot. And they are, well, the legislature is the least popular legislature in American history. At least at points it has been. So we can't put all of our hope in these politicians. We have to. And this is just my commentary. We'll go ahead because I want to get into more of this this budget thing. But we have to trust in the only thing, from my perspective, is Jesus that is going to be able to turn this around. The only thing that's going to be able to turn this around, because we can't legislate our way out of this. There is a bigger issue, a deeper issue that legislature cannot touch. That's only going to be answered in Jesus Christ. Now, let's get more info on this, though. So he vetoed the Republicans' budget bill, and he claims that the budget is not balanced. Tell me about that.
Right. So, again, as I said, he vetoed it because, number one, it doesn't eliminate the structural deficit, doesn't provide property tax relief, and not enough money in education spending. The Republicans sent him a budget that does not increase taxes. It spends $1 billion more than we spent this past fiscal year, and it does use a number of one-time revenue sources in order to balance the budget. And so while it may be balanced on paper going for this year, we're going to have the same discussion next year until we actually get at the cost drivers in the budget, which, of course, are pensions and welfare.
I'm fascinated to learn how he's going to do this, Bob, because his own budget got struck down 193-0. Is it 0 to 193? Is that the correct order? Okay, so it's kind of like baseball, you know, 0-2, you know, something like that. Okay, so 0 to 193, okay, this budget got struck down. I mean, what is he, does he have some kind of ace in the hole where, I don't know, is he going to give himself some extended governor powers to just pass a budget just like that? Or
it's amazing to me. He's continued to be fixated on tax increases. His ideology or his point of view is that Pennsylvanians aren't taxed enough. The government isn't spending enough. So he's continuing to hold out until he gets tax increases from the Republican legislature. But as we pointed out before here, Pennsylvania is the 10th highest tax state in the country. So we don't need more taxes. We don't need more government spending in order to move Pennsylvania forward.
Welcome to fascist America. We live in a collectively fascist nation, I believe, right now. He is so blatantly going against what the people's elected representatives are saying, because this isn't even close. Like, it's nowhere near close. I mean, it's not close at all. He is basically trying to say, my way or the highway, I don't care how many people you elect to tell me differently.
Well, here's the point he's tried to make, and it's that the Pennsylvania public actually supports a severance tax to fund education. But if you look at what he's talking about, he's not really saying much about his broad-based tax increases that are necessary for him to actually get all he wants in this budget. And he didn't run on tax increases for low- and middle-income families in Pennsylvania. In fact, he ran on the opposite. He said if you're between $70,000 and $90,000 for a single person, and you could double that if you're married, you're not going to see a tax increase, and in fact, you may see a decrease in your taxes. But his budget plan, according to the Independent Fiscal Office, actually raises taxes on low- and middle-income families, and as well as those in the upper-income households. So he went back on his promise, and unfortunately, now he's decided to draw the line in the sand that either I get taxes, or I get tax increases on low- and middle-income families, or again, Pennsylvania continues to operate without a budget.
Now, this is a giant game of chicken, is essentially what's going on. Who's going to blink first? Now, the governor, in my mind, has no choice but to blink first because the legislature is so polarized against this. I mean, the Republicans probably need to stand their ground, okay, depending on you can't. I mean, it's like any household budget. You can't operate, okay, spending more and more and more. And, of course, Pennsylvanians don't want taxes raised. Yet again, they may want a severance tax to fund education, but if the net is going to be a raising in taxes, that's the last thing anyone wants. It sounds, and you know what it honestly sounds like? It kind of sounds like the Affordable Care Act federally, okay, when they're telling, oh, well, you're going to be able to keep your coverage and you're actually going to have decreased cost. And the same thing here, where he actually campaigned on, well, we're going to decrease your taxes. And I'm sure he talked about his plans and, you know, how he's going to budget, how he's going to balance the budget, and you're actually going to see a decrease where, well, you know what? When one day we open up our, you know, check statement there and we see that PA tax has indeed increased, we're going to have some choice words, I believe, for Governor Wolf. So what, despite the governor decrying Republicans for underfunding education, spending on education is at an all-time high. Think about that one. We're going to get back. We're going to continue the conversation with Bob as far as the latest at Pennsylvania's Hill.
Had more people saying it's time for that flag to come down. Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake fires her police commissioner, Anthony Batts.
The mayor thanked Batts for his service, but said criticism of his job performance has become a distraction, preventing cops from doing their job.
It is with the utmost urgency that we get the crime surge under control.
Batts' firing comes a little more than 2 months after rioting broke out following the death of Freddie Gray from injuries he received while in police custody.
Fox's Jackie Ibanez. Fox News, we report. You decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. There have been a lot of other shoes dropping since the Supreme Court ordered a redefinition of marriage in every corner of our nation. Calls for ending tax exemption for churches and other ministries are ringing loudly. And this past week, the ACLU called for repeal of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, which they initially supported when it became federal law more than 20 years ago. Apparently, the ACLU is unhappy that the law was used to protect the conscience rights and religious liberty of the Christian owners of companies like Conestoga Wood Specialties and Hobby Lobby. It seems the ACLU is fine with the law protecting the rights of those in non-Christian religions, but it doesn't like it protecting a Christian's right to conscience. Frankly, I'm not surprised.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. I want to remind you that freedom of speech is not free. Courageous radio stations like this one need your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show. Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio forms. Formats would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
For more information on how you can advertise your business on News Talk 1180 WFYL, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.
Well, Governor Wolf strikes again. Again, if you weren't listening before, welcome to the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins. I have joining me this morning Bob Dick with the Commonwealth Foundation and also Beth Ann Mumford with Americans for Prosperity via phone, talking about his veto of the Republicans' budget bill. He was, just to let you know a little tidbit of information, did you know the Pennsylvania Constitution actually requires that we have a balanced budget? Yeah, so we need to get this rolling, and we need to get it rolling soon. Now, the governor does not want to operate a deficit, which is admirable. I think everyone doesn't want to operate a deficit, but his own plan would have created a deficit. The Republican plan would have actually eliminated the deficit for the first year. The other years would have had to been addressed as far as eliminating that as well. But what are we missing something here? So you campaigned on one thing, and now there's another thing here, Bob. I mean, are we missing something?
Well, this is where we're at right now. The governor continues to push forward for his tax increases, and until he gets them, or unless he decides to change the course for Pennsylvania, we're going to be at a standstill right now until, you know, something has to give. So, and from our point of view, from the Commonwealth Foundation's point of view, we want to see the governor actually work with Republicans and not increase taxes, because that's what most of the Republicans ran on. No, as the Senate Majority Leader Jay Corman pointed out, no one in Pennsylvania ran on an $8 billion tax increase, and they didn't get elected to office with that, and that's what actually the governor's budget plan calls for. So it's time to acknowledge reality. Pennsylvanians are overtaxed. They're paying enough in taxes, and it's time to pass a responsible budget that does not increase taxes on working Pennsylvanians.
Beth Ann, you there this morning?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, what do you think about the governor's latest move?
Yeah, we agree with Bob. I mean, this idea that, you know, that he won't be willing to sit down and talk through some of these things with the leaders in both the House and the Senate, who put together a budget that, a budget that increases spending in a number of areas that he wants to focus on, and yet he's unwilling to sign it because he's demanding billions of dollars in new taxes from Pennsylvania taxpayers.
Now, he didn't necessarily run on raising taxes, did he? I just putting that out there, Beth.
Well, he ran on restructuring the tax code so that, maybe people on with higher incomes would pay more. That's not what he proposed when he put his budget proposal forward. He did run on increasing education spending, which is what he's arguing, you know, we need the additional taxes on the gas drillers for. But the budget that that he's looking at right now does increase education spending $200 million. So even that ask was resolved in the budget that was sent to him, and he's unwilling to sign that because he's demanding just billions of dollars in more taxes.
Now, we are throwing money at education here in Pennsylvania. Bob, education is at an all-time high as far as spending.
Right. So my colleague James Paul looked at the numbers and he found that in 2012-2013, the Pennsylvania was spending $26.1 billion on education. That's a $600 million increase from the prior year. And that averages out to about $15,000 per student, which ranks us around 10th in the nation. So the idea that education in Pennsylvania is underfunded is a myth. And I would like to make this point. If you look at what the governor's three priorities are, again, eliminating the deficit, increasing education spending, and providing property tax relief, his own plan either doesn't accomplish those goals or isn't necessary in order to fix what he sees as problems. So just one example of the structural deficit. His plan, according to his administration's own calculations, would end up with a $318 million deficit in 2016-2017. So on the one hand, he's criticizing Republicans because their plan doesn't eliminate the structural deficit. But on the other hand, his own plan doesn't eliminate the deficit in 2016-2017. And on education spending, again, as I mentioned, $26.1 billion, he wants to spend even more. And he needs a severance tax for that. But as I pointed out previously, the amount of revenue that would be raised from the severance tax is not going to pay for the amount of education spending he actually wants. And as for property taxes, taxing or a property tax shift, which is what he wants, basically by increasing sales and income taxes, he wants to take that money and provide property tax relief. It doesn't solve the underlying problem that Pennsylvanians already pay too much in taxes. What we need to do is control education spending, which is the real driver of property taxes in the state. And so if you look at all of his three initiatives, higher taxes are not going to solve those problems.
See, if we just keep on trying to pass this, pass that. See, we are trying to take care of external issues right now. We're trying to take care of issues that are manifesting themselves in necessarily let's increase the taxes. Let's go ahead and try to balance the budget by taking away more money from the taxpayer and funneling it to the government. We're trying to do all this with external things, but see, there's an underlying internal problem here. This idea that we can just spend more than we take in, as far as the budget is concerned, that's the underlying problem, which no one is willing to address, which the only way that we're going to be able to address that in all of our politicians, I believe it comes down to integrity. I believe that the one thing that we need is we need the gospel. We need Jesus Christ in the area of politics. Now, spending on education is at an all-time high. I would love to know where this money is going to be going. I mean, Beth, where does he want to send all this money as far as education? I mean, what's it going to go to? What is it going to do? We're just throwing money at the problem?
Well, a couple things. When we look at resolving our long-term structural issues with the budget, I mean, the thing that will help is having policies and having a pro-growth economy here. I mean, the more that we have people working, the more that we have people looking for new opportunities to innovate and be entrepreneurial, the more people we can get into jobs, then that will resolve some of those issues. When we've got a stagnant economy, God bless the natural gas industry, which has really kind of driven at least us, forward and not backwards as a state. So, you know, finding ways to make sure that we've got economic opportunity and we're a state focused on the future so that people, you know, can look around and look for new ways to you know, improve their job opportunities is what we need. And that's going to really help these budget issues long term. But as far as the education spending, you know, the governor has, even when he sent his administration in to talk to lawmakers earlier this spring, there wasn't a lot of detail that he had developed. He ran on nice taglines, we need more money for education, but he has not really laid out what the specifics are. What will happen with the way that his tax is structured, with the increase in the sales tax and the property tax, will send a lot more money to Harrisburg than to our local local school districts, which is what we do now. And then the folks in Harrisburg will decide how that money gets spent. And what happens there is you've got a lot of lobbyists for the state public unions. You've got a lot of people in Harrisburg who want to influence how that money gets spent so they can direct some of that money to their pet projects or, you know, to their special interests. So, you know, the way that the governor has his tax increase / you know, temporary property tax reduction structured, it's designed to give access to those funds to the special interests that he's working with.
Which we've already talked about how this property tax relief is basically a lie. There's going to be a net increase on taxes for Pennsylvanians, okay? There will be some property tax relief, but there's going to be enough raising of state income taxes and other taxes that are basically going to nullify any property tax relief that Pennsylvanians are going to find. So we basically found that that is a lie. He claims that we need a severance tax, but we already have a severance tax on natural gas. So that's another lie, okay? How many? And now he's telling us that he wants more money for education, but he hasn't told us what in the world he's going to put it towards. Are we being set up here? I mean, are we being set up here again?
Well, I would say the governor, I don't know what his intentions are. I can't look into his heart, but I think he is, you know, trying to do the best he can for Pennsylvania. But as you pointed out, what he wants to do, he's a little late to the party. So, for instance, the severance tax, we already have one. It's called an impact fee. And according to the Independent Fiscal Office, it's about a 4.7% effective tax rate, which is close to the 5% tax rate he wanted during the campaign. So we already have that. Education spending says it's underfunded. Again, point to the numbers from the Pennsylvania Department of Education. This is in the Commonwealth Foundation's numbers. This is the Pennsylvania Department of Education. $15,000 in revenue per student in the Commonwealth. And so the solution isn't to grow the size of government, to take more money from people who earn it. The solution is to return power back to the people of Pennsylvania. And that's the best way forward for the state.
The logic on this is impressive. I guess I'm not, I've used this phrase before. I guess I'm not enlightened enough to understand it, that we need to keep on raising spending in order to balance the budget. So I'll chew on that and see if I'll reach that area of enlightenment one day. We're going to head to a break. We will get back. We got Bob Dick with the Commonwealth Foundation joining us, and Beth Ann Munford with Americans for Prosperity, talking about the latest your Pennsylvania government is doing for you.
Your identity at risk? Did you swipe your debit card at the gas station? Identity thieves can place skimming devices on the payment terminals. Do you use public Wi-Fi? Identity thieves are known to set up shop around Wi-Fi hotspots, hoping to cash in on your personal information. Do any online banking? Go to the doctor? LifeLock reminds us that banks and health insurers are susceptible to breaches of your private information. But don't stop living your life. Get LifeLock Ultimate Plus Identity Theft Protection. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your social security number, bank and retirement accounts, credit cards, even the equity in your home. Obviously, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at every business, but you only have one identity. Protect it with the best. Enroll with LifeLock in minutes, and your protection starts immediately. Visit LifeLock.com now and use promo code AWARE or call and mention AWARE to save 10% on your membership. Call 800-520-9106. 800-520-9106. 800-520-9106.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
The book of Jude shouts God's warning to America. Certain people will sneak into the church, pretend to believe in God, but like Satan, deny the power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, these religious but ungodly people will pursue egregious sexual immorality, defile the institution of marriage, detest moral authority, and fully corrupt themselves. Jude says these people, like clouds without rain, are ignorant and arrogant. In these times, Jude says to take heart, because the Lord Jesus himself will soon come with 10,000 angels and execute justice against all those who deny his authority. These mockers may sound bold, but they will fall before the justice of God. The command for us? Contend for the faith. Keep ourselves in the love of God and look for the mercy of God. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying with Jude, trust in God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Well, according to Philly.com, there is a, quote, air war over Pennsylvania budget standoff that's hitting TV screens. This is all what we've been talking about here. A 30-second statewide ad by America Works USA, an affiliate of the Democratic Governors Association, aligns with Wolf's public relations strategy. It takes on Republicans over the budget bill that Wolf vetoed, saying the GOP plan let the oil and gas industry off the hook, but not adequately fund education and would have deepened the deficit. Here's a quote from it. Governor Wolf is fighting for a middle-class budget that lowers property taxes, and Bob is shaking his head over here. Let's go ahead and unveil these lies, because there's no other way to describe them. They are lies. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL on your morning drive. Thank you so much for joining us and for having us with you in your vehicle this morning or in your home, wherever we may be. Mike Levins here, Bob Dick with the Commonwealth Foundation joining us, and Beth Ann Mumford with Americans for Prosperity, both wonderful guests we have had on the program before, and they come to grace us now with their political knowledge because they spend their full-time jobs figuring out what in the world the politicians in Pennsylvania are working on so that we don't have to sift through all of the paper. Thank you both for joining us again this morning. It's wonderful to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Now, I want to finish reading that quote from the ad here that Governor Wolf is putting on the air. Governor Wolf is fighting for a middle-class budget that lowers property taxes and makes oil and gas companies pay up to fund our schools. Tell the legislature, I love how he's saying that, when this ad is saying that oil and gas companies need to pay up to fund our schools. What would it be? Wait a minute, hold on. What about Pennsylvania? You know, this is a public work. We are one of the most taxed states in the union, and oil and gas companies need to pay? Where is all the money that... Okay, so we're paying a whole ton of money. Where's all the money that we're spending on education? Now we need oil and gas companies to pay. Who else is going to need to pay? They need to... That sense of obligation, I guess, it gets me. Anyway, but it says, tell the legislature to get serious and pass a real budget. All right, Bob, you're shaking your head before. Let's unveil some of these lies here. What's the biggest issue you have with that?
Well, first, just for context, America Works, which is funded by the Democratic Governors Association, is also funded by government unions. In fact, in 2014, $14.4 million went to the Democratic Governors Association. And, of course, government unions are Governor Wolf's biggest funders, their biggest backers. And so that just gives you an idea of why they want this budget, because they'll profit from it, more government union members, and that means more dues. But to the content of the ad, number one, it's time for the oil and gas companies to pay their fair share. Well, they pay all the other taxes that businesses in Pennsylvania pay on top of the severance tax that is already imposed on them, known as the impact fee. That's number one. Again, with the education funding, I feel like a broken record here, but it's $15,000 per student in Pennsylvania.
You're feeling like I do every morning here, Bob.
So, I mean, again, with underfunded, it's just nonsense. So, yeah, this is going to be going on for a while now to try to give Governor Wolf some support for his budget. And I would make one more point. This idea that his budget is a middle-class budget is completely false, because this raises taxes on middle- and low-income people, according to the Independent Fiscal Office.
Beth Ann, what say you?
Yeah, no, I agree with Bob. I mean, I heard that ad on the radio when I was driving yesterday, and it just made me want to run into a brick wall, because it really is disingenuous.
We like you. Don't do that.
And, you know, the fact that you've got these government union, you know, backed advertisers pitching on behalf of the governor is, you know, kind of crazy in and of itself. We conducted a poll here not too long ago as we got into the depths of this budget discussion of voters across the state, and we found that taxes was the single most important issue facing Pennsylvanians across all demographics and across political parties. 21% of the respondents that got the highest level of response, people are concerned about the taxes they pay. And to Bob's point, I mean, the governor's proposal is going to really hit at people in their pocketbooks. If you're paying more in your income tax and your sales tax, and you're suddenly now paying taxes on sales tax that you've never paid before, that's going to eat into your family budget and what you have left to spend at the end of the week. So this idea that this is a middle-class friendly approach that he's proposed is nonsense.
Well, just to kind of give you, in case you forgot, just a quick look at Bankrate.com as far as for Pennsylvania taxes here. We have a flat tax rate, okay, with no personal exemptions. We have county, municipal, school district taxes are also collected on top of that. People who live in modest income can provide for a tax forgiveness credit, but we are one of the most taxed states in the union. Now, what can the people who are doing right now, we're listening, what can they do? Okay, getting involved with their constituents. What is the best recourse for them, Beth Ann?
Well, they need to talk to their lawmakers. Those folks are back in the district right now while leadership is continuing to work with the governor. They need to call those district offices of the folks who represent them, thank them for passing a no-tax budget if they voted for that budget. And encourage them to stand firm, to make sure that that those lawmakers don't get squishy. It's tough sometimes when you've got these ads blaring and the other side yelling at you. But, you know, they need to hear from their constituents and have that kind of support back home so they feel confident maintaining this position. They can also call in to the leadership offices, the folks who are right now negotiating with the governor. You know, it's good to hear. Mostly lawmakers like to hear directly from their constituents. But it would not be hurtful to call some of those leadership offices so they know that there's a lot of support for the work that they're doing.
I mean, all these ads, it's propaganda, it's plain and simple. It's lies that are being put out in these ads. I mean, bomb people, go ahead, get in touch with their constituents. I mean, what's the effect that you see of that working on the Hill?
It definitely does have an impact, and if lawmakers see that their constituents are backing them and they don't want to see their taxes increase, then they will be able to stand strong against Governor Wolf's demands for tax increases on middle and low-income people. Beth Ann is absolutely right. Have to support lawmakers in holding the line on taxes.
A simple phone call can have a huge impact on Pennsylvania politics and your taxes. Now, I say the hill, I'm meaning, of course, Pennsylvania. I look at Harrisburg as the other hill, if you will, for our state. But one phone call can have a major impact. Find your representative and call them and voice your opinion as far as taxes in Pennsylvania. That will make the difference. I've got two people who do this for a living telling you right now on the air that a phone call to them will let them know, hey, this is not what I want. What I do want is less taxes. And that's what the statistics show that Pennsylvanians do want. So, Bob and Beth Ann, it's wonderful to have you guys on. Beth Ann, I'll give you the last word. We got about a minute, so real quick, last word for our listeners.
Yeah, well, just real quick, we've got a website called StopTheWolfTax.com, and you can go there and put in your income, and it'll tell you how you're going to be impacted if wolf's taxes go through. So it's a good visual of, you know, whether or not you're going to be paying more. For most people, they are going to be paying more. There's also an action alert on that website. But no, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. The governor's budget is not the right direction for Pennsylvania, and folks really need to make sure they're calling their lawmakers.
No, it's great to have you guys back on. We appreciate the info and appreciate all the work you do. Beth Ann, don't run into a brick wall. We want to have you on in the program in the future. And Bob, you too. Stay away from any walls made of brick, please, sir.
Will do.
Wonderful to have you guys on. We got to head to a break. We'll be back after this.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township,
this is AM 1180.
AM 1180.
WFYL.
King of Prussia.
Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. The debate got emotional.
Take a symbol of hate off these grounds on Friday.
Republican Jenny Anderson Horn could get her wish. Lawmakers vote to remove the Confederate flag from South Carolina's Capitol grounds. Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers has more live.
It was made official just after 1 o'clock this morning.
Polls are closed. Clerk will tabulate. By a vote of 94-20. Senate Bill 897 receives third reading.
Now that bill to remove the flag goes to Governor Nikki Haley. She supports the bill, which calls for it to come down within 24 hours of her signature. The flag will then be sent to the Confederate Relic Room. The debate over the flag's removal was renewed after photos of the man accused in a mass shooting at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston showed him posing with a Confederate flag, Dave.
Tanya, what's Greece's plan? Europeans keep waiting for a bailout proposal. Fox News Radio Simon Owen live in Athens.
Dave, on the face of it, you wouldn't know much was different here in Athens. It's another hot, sunny day. People are drinking coffee outside cafes. There are tourists all over the place. But then the big giveaway, long lines at cash machines all over the city. The closure of banks here has been extended to next Monday. By the end of the day, Greece needs to tell its creditors what reforms it's willing to implement in return for a bailout. Dave?
Simon, the number of Syrians who fled the civil war there is now top 4 million. The UN calls it the worst refugee crisis in 25 years.
UN refugee spokesman Adrian Edwards says conditions for the refugees living in Jordan, Lebanon, and Turkey are deteriorating, with more people sinking into poverty and desperation. He says child labor, begging, and child marriages are on the rise.
Fox News Radio's Kate Alexander. Another child has died in a hot car, this time near Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Police say the 11-month-old's parents and their 4 other kids were unloading groceries yesterday and forgot to get the baby out of the SUV. They realized it an hour later, but it was too late. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Eating uncontrollably during a binge. Eating far more than others would in a similar situation. Eating and then feeling terrible. Binging at least weekly for 3 months. Sound familiar?
Hi, I'm Monica Seles. I got to achieve my Grand Slam title, but off the tennis court, my binge eating was just uncontrollable. My doctor said it was binge eating disorder. There is hope.
Adults, get the full symptoms at BingeEatingDisorder.com. Then talk with your doctor.
Sponsored by Shire.
And now another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. A woman told us she was fed up with constantly playing on the course right behind the same slow group. So she went to Golfsmith and picked up high-velocity Callaway XR woods. The way she sees it, if she can't make them play faster, a few balls whizzing by at 100 miles an hour might. Hurry into Golfsmith today to get the best of the season and save enough on the Callaway XR woods to play another round. Only at Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
Baltimore's top cop has been fired just months after all the protests and riots related to the death of a black man in police custody. Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Anthony Batts is out as Baltimore Police Commissioner. Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake announced his departure after a surge in murders and a drop in arrests in the weeks after the city was ravaged by riots sparked by the death of Freddie Gray.
The brave men and women of our department who put their lives on the line every day to make our city safer, deserve better, and we're going to get better.
Deputy Police Commissioner Kevin Davis replaces Batts on an interim basis. Six Baltimore police officers are charged in Gray's death. Dave.
Rachel, the grounding of the United flights yesterday by a computer problem and the shutdown for hours of trading at the New York Stock Exchange were not related, and the U.S. says they also were not cyber attacks.
At this point, there is no indication that malicious actors were involved in these technology issues.
That's White House spokesman Josh Earnest. Ariana Grande says she does not hate America, contrary to what the pop star was caught saying on video.
Ariana Grande is catching some heat for statements she made at a bakery in California and is apologizing. The pop singer was caught on video making disparaging remarks about the U.S. and Americans in reaction to some items on display at a donut shop. After it leaked, she immediately released a statement saying, "I am extremely proud to be an American, and I've always made it clear that I love my country." What I said in a private moment with my friend who was buying the donuts was taken out of context, and I am sorry for not using more discretion with my choice of words. Michelle Polino, Fox News Radio.
There could be a rally on Wall Street, a rebound from yesterday's big sell-off. Futures are strongly higher, as there has also been a surge in the Chinese stock market, up nearly 6% overnight. Other European and Asian markets also rose. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.